الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أصابكم من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم ويعفو عن كثير وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بر آباءكم يبركم أبناؤكم أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected students of Deen, brothers and sisters, in one hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم is reported to have said that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to me and he said to me, number one, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ish ma shi'ta fa innaka mayyitun. Live as long as you want, but one day you will have to leave this dunya. You will have to leave this world. So that's the message that Allah ta'ala gave to everybody, even the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So what is our position? How much we are supposed to be conscious about this and preparing for it, that one day we are going to leave this world. And then the second thing that was said, وَأَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئِتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُهُ, that attach yourself to whoever you wish. Yeah, obviously, many attachments we have which are part of human nature. We are closely attached to our parents, to our siblings, family members. Person has people that he is attached to. But Jibreel salatu wasalam said, attach yourself, love whoever you wish, but you're going to one day separate. This is the reality of dunya. Dunya, there's nobody that's going to remain perpetually in that bond. Sooner or later, the parting will happen. And then the third aspect that was mentioned is, وَعْمَلْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَجْزِيٌ بِهِ, that then do whatever action you wish, because you are going to be compensated for it, meaning the kind of action that is the kind of outcome. Now, as far as the Anbiya alayhi salam are concerned, there's only good actions. There is never any possibility of anything that is not in order. But the message was given to us. The address primarily was to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the message was for all, everyone in the ummah. And what is actually being explained in this is that the kind of action that a person performs, then that's the kind of consequences or outcome the person will see. There are many ayat of the Quran Sharif, many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that very clearly explain the link between the actions and the outcomes. If it's a good action, for example, the good action of istighfar. So now istighfar is to seek forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. It's outwardly a very, very simple thing. And generally when something is very simple, we take it for granted. Whereas some very simple, meaning simple to do, very simple actions, doesn't take any hard effort. It's unlike many other things which are sometimes not so easy. For example, if a person is going to be going for Hajj, so now Hajj is a very great amal, but it's not so straightforward that a person now wants to go for Hajj, just go for Hajj. There are a lot of things involved before Hajj, and the entire journey of Hajj, and various things that go along with it. So it's a lot of effort involved. So some efforts, some actions require so much of time, so much of effort, sacrifice of wealth. And istighfar compared to that, hardly any effort involved. Person can be sitting in their own home, in the comfort of their bed, in fact, and costs nothing materially, financially. What does it cost to make istighfar? And then together with that, it is hardly any time involved. Yes, the more a person spends time in it, the greater the benefit. But what is the outcome? What will be the result? So in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, Istaghfiru Rabbakum, innahu kana ghaffara. Seek forgiveness from your Rabb. So in other words, make tawbah also. And especially now, then continuously keep seeking Allah's forgiveness. Innahu kana ghaffara. Allah is most forgiving. And what will Allah Ta'ala do in return for you? Yursilis sama'a alaykum midrara. Wa yumditkum bi amwali wa baneen. Wa yaj'al lakum jannati wa yaj'al lakum anhara. So the crux of this is, Allah Ta'ala will send down abundant rains. Now when good rain comes, then that gets everything going. The ground becomes irrigated, it's then receives its water, as a result of which the crops come, the animals feed from it, the abundant crops, people then benefit out of it, the fruit, the vegetables, so many things, daily needs, all get then taken care of. So now all this is then the water itself that Allah Ta'ala provides through the rain. So many things happen through this rain. And the rain, Allah says, Istaghfiru Rabbakum innahu kana ghaffara. That beneficial rains. Sometimes rains come and it becomes destructive. It becomes a flood. It becomes a tsunami. Here Allah is saying, Allah will send beneficial rains. And those rains will become a means of so much of good. And then together with that, a person, Allah promises him, Allah will bless with offspring and bless with wealth. And Allah will give gardens, lush gardens, rivers will flow, and so many other bounties and ni'mats. Now, but based on what way it started off? Istaghfiru Rabbakum. Seek the forgiveness of your Rabb. In one hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has highlighted that the one who attaches himself to istighfar, man lazim al-istighfar, the person who attaches himself, meaning abundant istighfar, consciously, deeply, abundant istighfar, Allah Ta'ala will grant him, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مِنْ كُلِّ ضِيقٍ مَخْرَجًا. From every difficulty, Allah will grant a solution. And مِنْ كُلِّ هَمٍ فَرَجًا. From every worry and concern, Allah will bring relief. And وَرَزَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah will grant risk from sources that cannot be imagined. So now what is the message and the lesson in this that we have to take? That it is the kind of actions that a person does. Now what link can we see between istighfar and rizq? We can't see any link. Our eyes can't see this. Our eyes cannot see any link between istighfar and rains. But Allah Ta'ala is giving us the clear message that look, this is the link. We have linked it up. You can see it, cannot see it, doesn't matter. We cannot see many things. Our iman is based on ghaib, on the unseen. And this is part of that iman bil ghaib. Allah's kalam, Allah Ta'ala's command, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this in the Quran Sharif, that this is linked. So now this good action, very great action, which costs nothing, very easy, no real abundant time that is a precondition to fulfill it. Even little time will enable one to make istighfar a few times. The more time a person spends, all the better. But the very great bounties and benefits is as a result of istighfar. So now this is on the positive side. One good action, but such great blessings. Blessings already in dunya. Our needs of dunya. More important than that and greater than that is, by means of this istighfar, a person will become closer to Allah Ta'ala. That is the very, very great bounty and benefit that through the simple amal, very simple, but that's the unfortunate part, that things that are simple, we take it for granted. Whereas it's very great in itself, simple but very great. So the simple amal of istighfar, this will bring a person closer to Allah Ta'ala. And that for a mu'min, subhanallah, that is the greatest prize. That is the greatest bounty, that I become closer to Allah Ta'ala. So this is on the positive side, that if a person will turn to Allah Ta'ala in istighfar sincerely, Allah Ta'ala will grant all these bounties, and what we discussed in the Hadith Sharif. So just as this happens on the positive side of things, there is the other side of it as well. That there are actions which then become means of consequences which are very, very challenging, difficult. Allah save us, becomes an azab. In one Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that when my ummah will engage in 15 actions, إِذَا فَعَلَتْ أُمَّتِي خَمْسَ عَشَرَةَ خَسْلَةً حَلَّتْ بِهَا الْبَلَىٰ, then calamities will just descend upon it. So if you want to save ourselves from calamities, it means we must save ourselves from these actions. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained those 15 aspects, mentioned all those 15 aspects. And now some of those aspects, we don't have the time to get into all now, but the lesson that we're actually discussing is that our actions bring reactions. It brings outcomes. It brings consequences. Good actions, good outcomes. And wrong actions, it brings the negative consequences. So now, in the side of the negatives, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned this one hadith, in this one hadith sharif, 15 aspects. Now, among those 15 aspects, for example, one aspect that is mentioned, that when people will start regarding zakat as a tax and as a burden. So now Allah Ta'ala's command, Allah Ta'ala has blessed with all these bounties and ni'mats. Whatever wealth a person has, it's Allah's blessing. Allah has granted it. And then for our tarbiyat and for our benefit in dunya and akhirat, Allah Ta'ala said, what I gave you, you give 2.5% now of that with all the various conditions that are applicable to it. So it's not just on every amount that's 2.5% compulsory. There are various conditions, various details. Then the 2.5% becomes compulsory. So we should understand that in its complete picture. So now that 2.5%, 97.5% of what is zakatable, that is, okay, you keep that. 2.5% you give in Allah Ta'ala's path as zakat. And when a person will start regarding the zakat as a tax, as a burden, it's going to bring himself azab. And when a person will give the zakat happily, discharge it correctly, wholeheartedly, for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, what happens with the zakat? The zakat becomes, besides obviously the biggest thing is, its fulfillment of such a great amal in deen. It's one of the pillars of Islam. And Allah Ta'ala makes it a means of a person's purification. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَّهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا, that the zakat will purify them and will become a means of their tazkiyah. Now this is such a great effect of the zakat. Now many of us who are still in madrasa, etc., it may not necessarily apply to us. Zakat becomes compulsory when a person is of age. And then, depending on what the person has, many times in the case of women, this is unfortunately a problem, but that many are not acquainted with the laws of zakat, the command of Allah Ta'ala, what it entails. Now they have zakatable assets. They might have some jewelry, gold jewelry, silver jewelry. So this is a zakatable item. It's an item on which zakat becomes compulsory if it reaches a certain value. If it's that value, the sab or more, then now that will become, the zakat will become compulsory on it. Many just carry on like, well, one of those things that this is mine and I got it and I'll carry on with it. And they don't even take care to discharge the zakat on it, which is a very severe matter. Now, this is the message in the Hadith Sharif, that this will draw down bala. It will draw down the azab from Allah Ta'ala. Then another thing mentioned in the same Hadith Sharif, that وَاتُّخِذَتِ الْقَيْنَاتُ وَالْمَعَازِفِ, when singing girls and musical instruments will become rife. Now, people just switch on their phones and everything is there. All this haram is taking place. People go to these haram venues sometimes and whatnot carries on. Now, this is a clear consequence. Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is mentioning this in the Hadith Sharif, that when the Ummah will get involved in this music, listening to music, etc., then they will bring down azab. Now, if a person, individual, is carrying on with this, the individual is going to suffer the consequences. And if a community, big numbers in the community get involved in it, and others are not stopping it, everybody suffers the consequences. So now we need to understand that our actions don't just disappear in the air. Our actions bring reactions. Good actions, good reactions, good consequences. And evil actions, poor actions, bad actions, then it is evil consequences. Allah Ta'ala save us. Then among the things mentioned in this Hadith Sharif is that people will be disobedient to their parents, then bala will come. Now, disobedience of parents, we discussed many, many times. Obviously, not in things that are impermissible. If the parents are instructing something to be done which is impermissible, then with respect, we will not obey that, we'll decline that. With respect, that is a very key factor. Many people talk to their parents anyhow, just back answer them, be clearly sort of disobedient. And the parents are saying, the mother is saying sometimes things, the father is saying sometimes things, which are not just permissible, which are necessary, which are compulsory in deen. And the children's reactions are ajeeb. Really, sometimes parents, when they explain how their children react to things, it's mind-boggling. So now the lesson again in this, that our actions bring consequences. It is not lost in the air. In one Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, you treat your parents correctly, your children will treat you correctly. Now many of us take it for, because we are still in that phase of life, that we can't understand all this, that how my children are going to treat me, etc., because we're still not even close to that point where now we're going to move on in life, get married and settle down, etc. So these things sound like a far-fetched thing to us. Now, if I'm going to treat my parents in a certain way, I don't know when, maybe 10 years from now, 20 years from now, I might then settle down. Someday I'll become a parent. How I treated my parents, 20 years from now, my children, Allah Ta'ala blessed me with good offspring. But if my children come, where is this going to be linked? Parents are sometimes, that action is long gone and forgotten. So where is the link? But the link is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us. Whether we can see the link or cannot see the link, but that is the link. That how we talk to our parents, how we treat them, how we go about things, that's going to be the thing we're going to face. So now many have this very bad habit of back answering their parents, back chatting them, being neglectful. Parents are sometimes wanting some help with things, but they'll just make some excuse and stay out of it, not assist with anything in the home. Whereas this is what we need to get accustomed to, helping out in the home, doing chores, assisting our parents. But we just carry on like, I am entitled not to do anything. I am entitled to do nothing. So is there no such thing as khidmat of the parents? We don't have any concept of that in our hearts and minds, how great khidmat is. Khidmat for anybody, and especially of parents. So we need to change this thinking. We need to become aware that our actions don't just get lost. Our actions don't just fizzle out in the air. Our actions bring reactions, brings consequences. Good actions, good consequences. Bad actions, bad consequences. There was one incident which I remember discussing several times, but it's just coming to mind now. It came to mind just in this moment, and I feel it will be, inshallah, beneficial for us. Many times we mentioned this incident, that one alim from Madina Munawwara had come to South Africa many years back, some 15 years back, and we got talking, and I'm just coming to the main part only. So he was on his way for Hajj from South Africa. He was going to return and go for Hajj. So he mentioned in passing that somebody asked him that, because now he stays in Madina, he said, how many Hajj you made? So he said, well, 45. 45 Hajj, subhanallah. So then he said, look, there's an incident behind this. So what was the incident? He says his mother became very, very ill. And she became bedridden. And he was a young boy at that time. And a young boy, whatever aspirations he has, he wants to go here and do that and whatever. But he dedicated himself to his mother's khidmat. And she needed a lot of help, to the extent that sometimes just to change posture, sleeping on the one side, for example, now becoming tired and we need to change posture. She needed help with that as well. So any case, he did whatever was required. Whatever khidmat, he dedicated as a young boy, teenager, but he dedicated himself to his mother's khidmat. And every now and again, she used to give one dua. And the dua she used to give him was, Allah Ta'ala take you for Hajj. Nowadays also, if somebody makes a dua for us, we'll be very pleased. But he's talking about it in a time when, he says, rarely they would see from their village, now they were living in a rural area in Pakistan, that somebody would go for Hajj. The cities now, a few handful of people would go. So at that time, going back so many years, it wasn't so common that so many people would end up going for Hajj from Pakistan, etc. He's talking about now, this must have been when he was a young boy, so 60 years old ago, 65, 70 years ago. So in any case, he says that his mother would give him this dua, and he used to regard it as a very far-fetched thing, that where me, this living in the small little village here, got hardly any money to do the necessary things, where I'm going to manage to make it for Hajj? It sounded very far-fetched. Any case, this carried on. Every now and again, he would make some khidmat for his mother, and she'll give this dua. And this went on. Some time passed, and then she got very sick. And eventually, she passed away. Then, in any case, he went to study in a madrasa, became an alim. After he became an alim, some relative of his who was based in Madina Munawwara, and who was an imam somewhere or whatever, some people approached him that, look, we've built another masjid, we're looking for an imam to be based at this masjid, be the imam there, etc. If you know somebody, please arrange it for us. So he phoned this Mauli Sahab who I'm talking about, and he said, look, there's an offer here, there's an opportunity here to be an imam in one masjid, one small masjid somewhere in Madina Munawwara. If you're interested, then obviously the paperwork, etc. will have to be done, you can come through. So he accepted and he went eventually. And he became a resident of Madina Munawwara. Now from Madina Munawwara, every year he started making Hajj every year. And especially in that time, it was very straightforward, easy. He says, year in, year out, 45 Hajj. And where this came from? He says, the barkat of his mother's dua. And the barkat of his mother's dua. Now where's that dua? And where's the outcome here? Where's the link? Can we see any link? Can we show somebody the link? We cannot see it. We cannot show it. But it's linked. It is linked. This is the outcome that, mashallah, he made this sacrifice and he gave the best in terms of khidmat to his mother. This was the outcome. So now that's the lesson for us. The lesson is, don't just do things and think it'll just disappear. It'll just fizzle out. No, it's all having some impact on things. There are consequences that come. And this is now of a very higher level, that it refers to parents, how we deal with our parents. But even on a general note, what we do is what we will reap. Good actions, good outcomes. In dunya already, and in the akhirat as well. So we need to become very conscious and try to maximize the good deeds. And stay far away from sin. Staying away from sin is what is known as taqwa. And on taqwa, Allah has made numerous promises. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلَّهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Person adopts taqwa, Allah will grant them a solution from every problem. Will grant risk from sources they cannot imagine. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُعْظِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. Allah will forgive the person who adopts taqwa. Allah will forgive them, grant them a very great reward. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. The one who adopts taqwa, Allah will make all matters easy for them. Taqwa and the ease in matters. Can we see the link? We can't see any link, but Allah has given us the link. It is there. You must have the iman in it. So now what the point is, the more we adopt taqwa, the more we'll get all the good things in life, the things that will make us content, will keep our hearts happy, will be connected to Allah Ta'ala. Allah will save us from the calamities and hardships. But we have to choose to do the right actions and be conscious of Allah Ta'ala. In this way, inshallah, we will benefit the benefit of dunya also. And the most important is we will get the benefit of akhirat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala make us among those who are all the time making an effort to do what is right, stay away from what is wrong. Allah Ta'ala keep us with istiqamat and raise us with perfect iman and give us maut on perfect iman and raise us on day of qiyamah with perfect iman. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka ash-shukru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayk. Anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين. والحمد لله.